We're now on to a totally different subject, and that is one of milk. Here's this week's question of the week with Diana O'Carroll.
This week, is there really only the milk of humankindness?
Hi, this is Budi Prastia from Seattle, Washington. I have a question. Are humans the only animals to consume the milk of a different species? Thank you.
Most of us will have seen our pets and various garden wildlife taking advantage of a source of cow's milk on occasion. But are we the only ones to drink it habitually?
I'm Oliver Craig, and I work at the University of York in the Department of Archaeology. In fact, we are. Well, at least we are, as when we're adults, all juvenile animals can drink milk. And that's because they have the enzyme lactase digest the milk sugars. But the gene that makes that enzyme gets switched off when they get to a certain age. So as adults, they can't drink it. And most humans, in fact, can't drink milk as adults. And it's only a very small fraction of the world's population who can. And what's really interesting, of course, is that those people live in a very geographically restricted area, i.e. northwest Europe and some parts of Africa. So it's a really interesting question as to why only a certain part of the population can drink milk. If you're lactose intolerant, you don't possess this enzyme lactase. So basically, the lactose that's in the milk doesn't get digested. It's a disaccharide, and it passes straight through the gut and goes into the colon, and it can cause all sorts of unpleasantness, including, well, what's generally quoted is some kind of explosive diarrhea. It's a really, really nasty condition if you can't actually break these sugars down, but also causes problems with water retention and all sorts of other problems as well. So really, you know, very ill, bad stomach, and not actually being able to digest the sugar itself. So at some point in our history, it was a selective advantage for people in Northwest Europe, at least, to be able to drink milk.
But does being lactose intolerant really put you at a selective disadvantage?
Well, you wouldn't have thought it would, really, would you? I mean, it's not going to impact on your daily life massively. It's only going to be a selective disadvantage if there's a real advantage in being able to drink milk, fresh milk. It comes back to the question, then, why is being able to drink milk such a selective advantage? The answer to that is what we really don't know, and that's what we're trying to research and find out. And the first thing we need to do is find out when, what point in our history did that need to drink milk actually occur.
As far as we know, humans are the only animals to drink the milk of another species regularly, but only a small proportion of humans have the lactase enzyme. Cats and dogs are often seen taking delight in a serving of milk, though I'd rather not consider the consequences. An excellent find on our forum came from Jackass Penguin, who cited the red-billed oxpecker, a bird that can pech on the udders of an impala and drink its milk. Elsewhere, in Isla de Guadeloupe, feral cats, seagulls and sheathbills have been observed stealing the milk directly from the teats of elephant seals. So perhaps milk stealing does happen a little more than we currently know. Next week, how does the brain deal with Braille?
Hi, I am Friedrich Kremers. Because I am visually impaired, I read Braille instead of normal text. So I was wondering, does the mind process text in a different way when reading Braille? Thanks for taking my question. Bye.
Is Braille seen in the mind the same way as text, or can the brain do without the visual imagery? Answers to chris@thenakedscientists.com, or write them on our forum, and that's at thenakedscientists.com/forum.
Thank you, Diana O'Carroll. If you want to get in touch, do drop us an email to chris@thenakedscientists if you have any questions that you would like dianalised in a question of the week in future. Well, that's all we've got time for this week. Many thanks to Valerie Selimpour and also Paul Trotman for joining us on the programme. Next week, we've got the first question and answer show of 2011, so keep your questions coming in by email to chris@nakedscientist.com or tweet us to @nakedscientist. If you want to catch up on anything we've done, you can see the experiments we do or follow up on any of the news stories we cover. They're all online at nakedscientist.com. Thank you to our production team, Ben Vowsler, Tom Simpkins, Mira Senthilingam, Louise Ogden, Dave Ansell and Diana O'Carroll. And until next time, goodbye.
The Naked Scientists comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC, the Natural Environment Research Council and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientists.com.